You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
For those of you who just started listening, my name is Alexis, that's Christian. This is a soccer podcast called The Cooligans. It's hilarious. Now, we have just finished watching Saudi Arabia and U.S. men's national team lull us all to sleep.
Okay.
Boring.
They were, gave us a nice little, they rocked us to sleep, okay? They swaddled us, okay?
Oh, they held us tight and they said,
bro,
that was extremely boring.
It was. I think for us, you know, experts in the game, you know,
this is why you come here. What is your expert analysis?
When you come for the analysis, people who look at and dissect games the way we do,
yes,
it's a little bit different, right? We're looking at all the little details.
We're not getting paid billions by Fox to sit there and say, regardless of what happens, it wasn't good enough.
Okay,
we do it ourselves.
Our first, this is like, now it feels like a little total soccer show. Quick take, hot take.
R.I.P. Daryl.
All right, and my first. My quick take is that it was a disappointing display. Especially after the game against Japan, it's definitely not what you want to see. You would want to see not even necessarily a goal, but you want to see some chances. If Ricardo Pepi gets called up, a lot of people are questioning that decision to leave Jordan Pefok off of the squad.
If you're not familiar, Jordan Pefok. A player scoring.
We interviewed him. Yes. So we should play his interview on today's show as well.
Let's do that at the end.
So we'll do that.
Stick around for that.
We'll do that. There were a lot of questions that probably didn't get answered, or maybe they got answered in a way for Greg and everyone on the U.S. men's national team staff to say, like, all right, we gave some folks an opportunity. We gave them one last chance, and they didn't necessarily impress. So
they clearly have an understanding of the system. Not that it looked good or anything, but what I wanted to see was after a loss was a little bit of fight, a little bit of edge, and I didn't see that. All of this is null and void. Look, it's a friendly, and none of this matters until you get to the World Cup. But the next match that the U.S. men's national team will play is the first game of the group stage of the World Cup.
Right, the first game is against Iran.
I believe it is against Iran.
So that's really the next, obviously it's the next opportunity we're going to get to see them play in any game. And depending on how that game goes.
No, Wales.
Oh, Wales is the first game.
On November 21st.
55 days away. Okay, so Wales is the first one. So that's going to be a tough start.
Yeah, you couldn't do it against Saudi Arabia. Now, here's Wales.
But Wales also lost their game.
But they got that guy who gives those crazy speeches.
Michael Sheen?
Sure.
Martin Sheen. Martin Sheen. Something Sheen, I think, is his name. Who gave, like, you know, an inspiring little speech.
Did it on Ramesh's show, Ramesh Ranganathan's show.
And I think it was more well-received on Ramesh's show over, to the players. The players were just like, who's this guy?
Yeah. Bro. Why are you so dramatic, dog?
Bro, you're at a 10. I could use you at, like, a 2.
Yeah. I kind of do my own thing before the match, and you're kind of disturbing that. I finally figured out how to point that air conditioner away from me. Ah, so much better.
Okay. My quick take is there's still that it was disappointing.
Give me 3 words for this match.
3 words.
3 words. You could put
disappointing. Uh-huh.
It could be a sentence.
I would say it inspired. I think there was some inspiration there.
That's crazy.
They you know, it was better. And then, if this is one word, better than Japan.
if you smush that together, okay. Way Munch and Gladbach are smushed together. Shout out to everybody who was part of the watch along. If I had to give you three words, I would say, again, lackluster is going to be one word here. Mm-hmm. Boring is another one. And I'm going to go with worrisome. It was something that I was expecting not to see. I was hoping there would be some edge, some fight, some, an attempt to go out on top.
Well, look at this. This was Clint Dempsey's comments after the match, and he says right here, this is from the USMNT only, who tweeted this quote, but it says, there's no buzz going into the World Cup thinking, man, we're going to get out of this group and do well. Really kind of frustrating window for the players, coaching staff, and fans at home. Couldn't agree more.
Damn, Clint, tell us how you really feel, my G.
Bro, I said disappointing was the word I used.
You said inspired.
I think there was I guess comparatively against the game to the game against Japan. It's just there was at least the acknowledgement that it was handled poorly and the game plan was poor. Even Greg Berhalter took responsibility. He said that the team was not coached well. They didn't play well. They were not prepared. So even in training, they said they just didn't. That it was just clear that they weren't they didn't take it as seriously as I think that they should.
Nestor said the white bellies play better. Come on, you white bellies. shouts to Cuckfield. I'm not gonna walk away saying anything about this was inspired or inspiring. If anything, I think it just adds to the stress that should be already kind of felt by men's national team fans that. Maybe the spirit we saw in the games against Mexico may not be there for the World Cup. And what's kind of shocking about that is we spent an entire cycle out of it. We didn't qualify for the last one. Maybe it's just the fans, but there's this anticipation that we would come in here, guns blazing, obviously pun intended. No pun intended, I mean. We all guns blazing, all banging on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And it's just feeling like we're kind of sputtering into this World Cup. And I think, it just sucks. It sucks to keep moving the goalpost, but I don't think we're going to know anything about this team until we get to this Wales match.
Yeah, that is true. Look, and if the roster doesn't include Yunus Musa and Anthony Robinson at the World Cup, these next 2 months, I'm literally going to be watching these. I'm going to be watching Valencia. I'm going to be watching Fulham. I'm going to be watching, Leeds. And I'm like, anybody fouls any of our players, bro, that's it. We're coming after you. I don't know. We might dox you. We'll do whatever we got to do.
We'll figure it out.
I'm here to put out threats on the internet, bro, because you do not even think about injuring any of our players. No strong tackles. If it's 1v1, you're gonna have to let them beat you, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. So it's
you can see it in the chat. People are upset about the whole idea of they tried hard and 100% effort. Yeah, I think the fans are kind of done with that talk. I mean? At this point now, you kind of have to. You have to show it. You have to show it on the pitch.
Robin Tagini asked the question, when does the final roster drop? And I think it's about 30 days before, roughly, right? 30, 40 days before.
Yeah.
So we
have about 2 weeks.
I think maybe in the next 2-3 weeks, we should hear the final roster, if I'm not mistaken. But please, if someone knows more than I do, please let me know.
Let us know in the chat, who are the strikers that you hope make it to this squad?
November. Nestor saying November 9th might be the drop for the roster.
Damn, that's in a bit, bro.
The
never mind. That's a whole month and a half.
But P. Morton said, I don't know if you read this. The 1994 team tried hard. This team is softer than 2006 Charmin. Nice, bro. Okay.
Yeah, man, this isn't, look, we're not, maybe we should have waited a little bit after the game to record this, because we certainly ain't the most positive right now.
there's no reason to be disingenuous or anything. But I'm all, I said on the stream, I'm not particularly, I'm not panicked. The team, it's not like the team is just looking absolutely awful. They got beat by a better Japan. And, you know, the last few years have been a little difficult in that the U.S. hasn't even been able to play many European opponents or many African opponents. I mean, the game against Morocco,
right?
We looked great. So, I mean, it's... You're going to have some of these games, but I honestly...
But also, the inconsistency is so scary, because then now you never know who's showing up to what match.
Well, I mean, look, I'm going to say this. I feel confident after seeing this roster and seeing how they played in these two matches, I think Yunus Musa will be our most important player. I think if without Yunus Musa, we're not getting out of the group stage.
I'm hoping to see something from Brendan Aaronson. I'm hoping to see something from Yunus Musa. I'm hoping to see something from Christian Pulisic. I'm hoping to see something from Weston McKennie. I'm hoping to see something from Tyler Adams. And, you know, the names that I'm mentioning certainly aren't world beaters, you know, for those of you that are watching Europe, the European game. But these are people that, when they come together, should play well together. And I'm hoping we see a little bit for that. I'm hoping we see a group that walks in unified. And maybe, if we're going to take some positive from all of this, is that maybe they realize just how bad and lackluster we looked. And maybe they use that as an inspiration to, you know, when they get together for the World Cup, to realize there's another gear they need to kick it up to, because this ain't it, Chief.
Yeah. So, look, a bummer overall. And again, shout out to everybody who watched with us live on YouTube. If you're listening to this podcast and you know, we do watch along from time to time, make sure you subscribe and follow us on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/SoccerCoolians. Someone
asked if I'm saying my prayers, P. Morton. I'm not worried. I'm a little cautious, but I'm not worried. Also, I said we beat England. It's not like England's walking in feeling really great about themselves. They scored goals, but they also let up a bunch. So,
Wales lost their game, their last match in Nations League. I believe so. And England doesn't look great either. I think there's a lot of questions. I mean, we should talk about that game a little bit, because the fact that England, there's just so much drama around Harry Maguire, bro. Harry Maguire giving up that penalty.
Oh, wow. They lost their last three. They lost 3-2 to the Netherlands. They lost 2-1 to Belgium, and they lost 1-0 to Poland.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
At least we drew.
Karol Swiderski scored the goal, a great goal against Wales. It was a sort of a 1-2 and a layoff from Robert Lewandowski. And Karol Swiderski just absolutely was an absolute banger. It was a great goal.
Bro.
So MLS doing it, okay, out here.
He got that whole hog barbecue in him.
Okay. So the game against Germany, a lot of people, they saw that game, and then same as I'm sure England is watching this game against the US, seeing how they're gonna prepare against them. But everybody basically saying they're like just chomping at the bit, like, yo, make sure you call up Harry Maguire, okay? Don't let his club form affect.
You said you're going to be watching a lot of these men's national team players. I'm also going to be watching Gareth Southgate on his ring camera and Harry Maguire, bro. We can't have the injury for either of the two of you. We need both of you.
We need them in full. Make sure Eric Ten Hag doesn't play him too much. Just give him limited minutes, because he has a job to do with the English national team.
It's very important. Okay. Because the U.S. men's national team hope hangs on both Gareth Southgate and Harry Maguire just walking up confidently at the beginning of the match into that game.
Look, Harry Maguire started, I believe, both matches against Italy and against Germany. And some people cannot explain it. And sometimes when he gave up that penalty, he gave the ball away first. Jamal Musiala just...
Who could have played for England. I remember I said I thought he played for England.
He had a couple... I think there was another other country as well. I think in Nigeria he could have played for as well.
Yeah, he had a group.
You gave the ball away to the wrong dude. Yeah. And he tried to fix his problem very quickly, ended up giving up a penalty.
He was like, what if I just smash through this player real quick?
But I don't know. Do you feel bad for Harry Maguire at all? I'm like,
I do. I feel terrible. Jamal says Harry Maguire's finished. We're kidnapping him. I can't lie. I feel bad only because, one, did you see the video of him limping out of the stadium?
I did not.
So he had his bags with him, and he had a noticeable limp in front of the cameras, which I honestly think Gareth Southgate put his arm around him and said, do me a favor.
Oh, okay.
On the way out of here, I need you to limp.
I need you to do the Kaiser Soze.
We're going to give you an excuse.
Right.
I can't have you out here saying you're bad, so bad we can't start you. we're going to have to give you an injury. Now, I know it's a long ways away, but he ain't really playing for Manchester United anyway. So hopefully, if you're an England fan, this limp continues into the World Cup. But I honestly think like there's just no, it's a lose-lose for him because he played really well with England national team, with the English national team,
yeah,
but was playing terribly for Manchester United.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, he plays better for country than club.
Yeah, like at the Euros, especially.
At the Euros.
He did play well, yeah.
Then he can't even do that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And look, at the
these
end of the
day,
these
are the only people vouching for you now. I know, bro. You can't let them down.
And here's the thing. He's not a bad defender. He's always had one or two, like, howlers, if you will. You know, one or two moments in a game where you're just like, dude. Remember when he threw, like, I think it was Lindelof out of the way so he can defend.
Yeah. That was like it became like a meme or a gif or whatever.
Like the kid is a little bit of a maniac for one or two moments in the match, but it just seems like that those one or two moments have now kind of caught up to him.
Yeah.
And what I hate about it is it's a confidence issue at this point.
Yeah, it's in his head. He's in his head, man. And this happens to a lot of players, especially the ones that get so much media scrutiny. It's just every
Jamal
time
Jamal said he was limping for no reason. His head is so big, it's weighing him down.
This is what I'm talking about. These are the comments he gets.
It got nothing to do with his play, man.
But he's so much in his head that this was the same thing Shaq used to say, Shaquille O'Neal, when he was taking free throws, mm-hmm. is that when he was taking free throws, he was already thinking about missing, and he was already thinking about the disappointment he was going to cause inside the arena. That affected him taking the shot. It was just so psychological.
Sports is all confidence,
right? And this is what I think Harry Maguire is going through, where he's already thinking about what the repercussions of his mistakes are going to be before he even makes a mistake.
Or I don't even know if he's actually thinking about that, because that seems to be like maybe dead balls are the only moments where you actually have a moment to think about that. I think when you're in the game and it's going, I think more than anything is 100% of his brain isn't on what's happening in the moment.
Right.
It's, I better not make a mistake. When you're thinking, I better not make a mistake, is when you make mistakes. When you're thinking about the things you have to do or playing instinctually is when you don't make a mistake. It's like if you were on stage telling a joke and you were thinking like, oh, don't say this or don't do that. Your brain is now, that's going to get pushed out. You have to be in the moment, you know? And he's clearly not in the moment. And if he is, he's in the wrong moment, dude.
So look, all I'm saying is, you know, head up. Harry, we need you. We need you at the World Cup, buddy.
Jamal says we got three bozos in the team. Luke Pogue, which I mean is Shaw, but I guess because he's a little thick.
Okay, good for him. All right. We look him respectfully. All right.
Harry Maguire and Gareth Southgate. Lord save the king. Lizzie might wake up after game two.
Bro. So look, as far as the U.S. Preparing for this team, look, I'll say this: after watching those two matches for that England played, I'm not particularly worried. And I think England is probably going to go into the game against U.S. with a little bit of a bit more confidence because, you know, the results of the last two matches for the U.S. have been what they are, but. Realistically, again, like, and I said it before, if we have our full roster, we're going to have players that play in the Premier League, play in La Liga, play in Bundesliga. There might be one or two MLS guys.
Right.
So as far as just the confidence of those players that are playing against the top tier talent in Europe, the majority of our players will be those kinds of players. So I think we have our best roster. I think it'll be a good match.
And maybe, and I'm willing to admit that on paper, if you put both teams next to each other, England probably wins on whatever FIFA rating, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to the 11 on the pitch and whatever the tactics are, I think USA have a little bit of an edge, but it's got to be our full squad. And, you know, unfortunately, we're a little bit thin. We're a little bit thinner than England, which is just a stacked squad. Right. But I think it's another team that suffers from a serious drop off after their first 11. Jamal says Ivan Toney heat map was crazy though, from coach to airplane back to Brentford.
That's right. Ivan Toney didn't even get to play. It was a big deal and made a lot of noise about it. I thought Harry Kane stayed in that game way too long, by the way, against Germany. It is Harry Kane.
I mean, he ended up getting that penalty.
Right. But even still.
Or scoring the penalty, I should say.
I don't think he deserved to stay in the game as long as he did, because I don't think he did enough. But. I mean, it's Harry Kane, of course.
Omar Ramirez said, who's the third and second goalkeeper? Because we just saw Turner play.
It's Ethan Horvath and Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
Zach
Steffen.
Zach Steffen obviously was not called up. Yeah. But I think Jason Nix had mentioned it before about Zach Steffen. He basically thinks that Zach Steffen will get the call up because he's Greg's boy. And
he's also playing.
He is playing, but he didn't get called up this time because of an injury.
Right.
And so that might be a concern, too. He might end up not even making it to the World Cup through injury, especially if the good is that he's going to get a lot of minutes in the championship. But, you know, the championship can be a little bit, you know, bone crushing from time to time. And so that is my main concern. But honestly, I do think Zach Steffen is going to go.
Yeah, I hope he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem to me like he's now
he missed
number
two windows already.
Yeah.
So that's
he can't have a third.
Right. So
how old is Zach Steffen now? 27, 28?
Something like that.
I mean, he's still got time.
He's still pretty. He's a very pretty young guy. Jason X says Steffen hasn't been playing, hurt, and now supposedly dropped even though healthy. Interesting. Okay.
Ooh, that's rough.
So I wonder if both of them are homies, right? We've had Matt Turner and Zach Steffen on the show, and we've had those conversations about like being a backup and what that means. I mean, in the Premier League and stuff like that. And look, they don't want to be backups; they would like to start. You know, it was nice to see Matt Turner play in Europa League.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as far as like, even though Matt Turner is not the starter, it feels like he's probably going to be the starter, even though he's a backup at Arsenal.
Yeah, he's getting those cup competition matches, which is not enough. You want them to be a day in and day out starter. But until someone steps up and shows that they're both better and starting more consistently than Matt Turner, it's probably going to be him in goal. And I'm quite confident with that, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think
since he basically played until the beginning of the Premier League season.
Right. When he was still at New England, right. Jamal says Matt Turner has a mistake in him, but yeah, he is good. He's a good father to his kids, so I rate him. He just had one. He just had one kid. Recently.
Shouts to Matt Turner.
So I don't know if there's anything else about this game that we can discuss. It is what it is. They lost 2-0 to Japan, 0-0 against Saudi Arabia. This is what we have to work with going into the World Cup. I mean, you can let us know where you're at with your confidence for the U.S. men's national team.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a look at the starting lineup? Let's look at the starting lineup and let's ask ourselves, let's pick one player that we do not want to be in the World Cup.
Amber, I hope you don't see
this.
The
World Cup squad.
I hope you don't see this person we're about to name.
Yo, Matt, turn this on. No, I'm kidding. All right, so if we're looking at the starting lineup.
You really don't want to see. You're like, they make the team worse.
No, I don't want them to be in the squad. Not even starting. I don't want them to be in the squad. Starters.
Oh, starters?
Starters from this game.
From this
one. If you could pick one player to not be in the squad.
I mean, with all due respect, for me, it's Ricardo Pepi.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the starters are Pepe, Pulisic, Reyna, Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, DeAndre Yedlin, Aaron Long, Zimmerman, Serginho Dest, Matt Turner.
See, some people, and look, and the chat is saying Aaron Long, a lot of people. And so it's Pepe and Aaron Long.
I will tell you, the players that were rated the worst were Kellen Acosta, Ricardo Pepe, and Weston McKennie, all tied with a 6.3. This is according to FotMob.
FotMob, right?
Highest rating goes to Walker Zimmerman with a 7.6.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was good defensively, delivered a lot of great passes.
I take that back. Tyler Adams, 7.7. Tyler Adams.
Had the highest
at 7.7. One player that I think should stay home.
SKC Fan TV said Greg. The starting coach.
You know what?
Buddy, you're on the bench.
You know what's difficult for me to say between... It's between Ricardo Pepi or Aaron Long. And the reason why it's difficult for me to say is because they're both good depth. But neither one of them should be starting.
No,
I don't think so.
I mean, would I rather...
We're thinner at center back than we are at forward.
I don't know about that.
At that level,
we have Mark McKenzie. We have so if everybody's healthy, we have
McKenzie, as you said,
Mark McKenzie, Walker Zimmerman, Chris Richards.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other?
Don't forget, there's two positions here.
Right. I'm just saying, Miles Robinson's not going to make it.
No.
Who else? Who else do we have?
Eric Palmer Brown.
Eric Palmer Brown. Cameron Carter Vickers.
Yep.
So, no. I mean, it's...
But it's two positions.
It's hard to say. I mean, look, if I had to pick out of the two, I think...
Jason said Zimmerman.
I can't say.
Zimmerman played incredibly well.
There's no... Yeah, he's our best defender. I would say Aaron Long has more to offer than Ricardo Pepi. So, I would, yeah. If I had to pick between the two, I would pick Aaron Long to stay and Pepi to go.
I'm going
to
say Aaron Long. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that he plays for Red Bull. I do think, I've said this so many times on the show, I think center backs are a pairing. And right now it's appalling. And I think it's because of...
Look at this.
I think it's because of...
Boom. Okay. We are here with the poetry.
Okay. I just think it's not a good pairing, Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman. And if that's how we go into this World Cup, I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried.
Okay. All right. So let's move on.
And yo, Ricardo Pepi's good vibes. He seems like he picks good music on the aux. You know what I mean?
He gave him a shot. I think, look, Berhalter gave him a real opportunity. I think now in hindsight, it feels like going to Augsburg and it was probably the wrong move. I mean, who would have known? But it just didn't work out.
I mean, but here's the thing. We keep blaming these players for these things. He didn't pick up the phone and call Augsburg and said, come get me. His agent said, Augsburg just bought you. What are you supposed to do?
No, I mean, look, Dallas had to agree with it. The whole thing. It was a
it
lot.
Ain't, but Pepi didn't had no say in this.
I'm sure he had some say over what club he
what,
wanted to
What, you
go
don't
to.
Get on the plane? Bro, when a team buys your contract, that's your team now.
That's not how it works, bro. Not in soccer.
Yeah.
You know that? No, it doesn't.
He ain't at the level where he can say, no, I don't want to go.
I think so. Because you don't want a disgruntled player. If he really didn't want to go to Augsburg, he'd have to make up. Highly of the club before he went there.
Because I'm sure the agent's like, hey, this team's coming in for you.
Soccer's completely different. It's not it's not the NBA or NFL where the players have no control over their movement. Maybe MLS is a little bit different, but I'm 100% certain.
You think he had
an opportunity.
Don Garber says, yo, someone's willing to, what was it, 13 or 18 million they got for him?
I thought
it was 20 something, right?
No, it was less than 20. What was the...
Whatever it was. Let's say it's 18 million. You think Greg, you think Don Garber pick up the phone and go, Pepi, we just got a couple million for you. What are your thoughts? Where do you want to go?
Well, Garber doesn't decide every
Garber's
single
like,
move.
You getting some miles, baby. Because yes, it's flying to Augsburg.
Bro, what teams are in Australia? We need you to get over there.
Yo, we might send you the long way.
No, man. It's a very disappointing move for him. Like, of course, I think it was optimistic. Augsburg are not that great a team. And the fact that he just couldn't even score one goal in Bundesliga. He scored one goal for Groningen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he couldn't score one is very, very disappointing. So I think that is enough to say, look, we gave you a shot. You got the move you wanted to Europe, and it just didn't pan out. And it's not like when he
that's
puts
also
on the,
not, probably not the Europe he dreamed of as a kid either.
And
to go to a team that's about to be relegated and stink it up, and a team that had no service anyway, so it's not really his fault.
Yeah, and also when he puts on the U.S. jersey, hasn't done much either, man.
That's the thing. You got to prove it somewhere. At least McGuire looked good at some points on his national team.
He had the two goals against Honduras, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's worn out That's it. It's like the shimmer of those two goals, and they were important goals, and he helped the U.S. qualify.
They were important
to the World
when you
Cup.
Did it, but now what have you done for us lately?
Yeah. So that's the bummer. Okay. Let's move on to MLS a little bit, because there were, even though it is an international break, there were a few matches, and definitely the first one I want to talk about is LA Galaxy or San Jose against the LA Galaxy. This
TIFO was egregious, bro. I don't even know if I'm using that correctly, to be honest with you.
But it definitely was a what you call it, like. I gotta find a picture of the TIFO. I'll bring it up in a second. But I don't know, because usually a TIFO attacks one team. You make fun of the rival, but this was just like, yo, LA,
your whole thing, Dusty, bro. Everyone associated with your city, Dusty. That's what they said.
So I appreciate it for the banter, but bro, it didn't work out.
Could you imagine if a team was playing, let's say, Liverpool, right? Let's say, Crystal Palace was playing Liverpool. I know they don't do TIFOs in England, really. But yeah. Imagine Crystal Palace was playing Liverpool, and they were like, the banner came up, and it was like, yo, Liverpool sucks, and so does Everton. You'd be like, why am I catching strays?
I ain't even part of any of this.
Well, I'm not even here right now. I got nothing to do with them.
So you can see it on the screen here. It is two clowns in the LA Galaxy and the LAFC colors, and it just says the LA Circus. Same clowns, different costumes. All right?
Bro. You giving bulletin board material to a team that ain't even there.
And Chicharito, that's exactly why he did, bro. You can see the photo here. He scored his goal.
Uh-huh.
He scored two goals and did a jumping clown, kind of celebration. Let me see if I can. There's a video of it somewhere. I think this was, and Chicharito even said this in this interview right here. He said that TIFO brought something else from me, because he said it did the opposite of what I think the fans are trying to do, which are put them down. He was just like, that inspired me to play better and do more.
Most TIFOs will be about their own team while also putting down the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? This one had nothing to do with San Jose. In no way, shape, or form. There wasn't even San Jose colors used in this TIFO. This TIFO was just like, yo, we don't like you or your neighbors.
They went in. And look, I just want to play it here. This is from the sideline. And you can see Chicharito score the goal. But well done. Again, I'm a Chicharito stan. I want to see him in the playoffs, especially if they get past that first round. We're gonna have, we're most likely gonna have a Tráfico in the playoffs again.
I want this
for the vibe. So I'm glad San Jose did their thing. They try to come in hot with the bants, and this is how it worked out. But I think for playoff scenarios, this is the best case scenario.
I want to say, Pete Morton, I don't know what you mean, but for some reason I get it. It says Chicharito has the swag of a man with three families in two different cities.
It's interesting. He has, there's just something, when we interviewed him, that you sent it immediately. You sense this like genuine vulnerability that you don't really sense from a lot of other footballers.
He has a strong self-awareness.
Yeah.
He's very in touch with who he is and how he feels about things. It's kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
He's not just like, what's that called? Like, it's not showboating. What's that
robotic
called?
Robotic?
No, like when you're
performative?
Yeah. Well, no, you're not pretending to be something you're not. He's just like, this is who I am.
That's right.
We gave him credit too, because in our culture, you don't really see it as a positive, or it's not usually you're not as vulnerable as he is. Our culture doesn't really, award that.
And SKC Fan TV, he's very good at penalties. He's, you know what? I think he's, it's a funny joke.
He
because
certainly has a lot of confidence.
He's missed some very, very crucial and important ones recently. But I believe LA Galaxy, and I saw Tom Bogert tweeted this recently. I'll see if I can pull up the tweet, but As far as teams that have converted and or like have received and converted penalties, LA Galaxy are pretty high up there. Here it is. Okay, this is MLS team penalty statistics in 2022. Pens won. LA Galaxy with they've taken 12 and scored 8. So they're number one, and he's made a lot of those. So yes. Obviously, I don't know if he's missed all four. It's possible he has. So it's not the greatest. You know, you would want a little bit higher percentage
in the league,
but it's pretty good. But to get that many penalties called, and I'd feel generally pretty confident with Chicharito taking.
David Morales said Chicha has the worst pen conversion in the league, though. So maybe he.
Because he gets so many opportunities, yeah. He has more opportunities to miss. Goalkeepers get to see him take penalties.
They start to, maybe he has a tell.
Yes. So that's a possibility as well.
Like if he's smiling, he's going to try a Panenka. Well,
this
done.
Is the other interesting thing too. So as far as teams that have won the most penalties, LA Galaxy is at one, Portland at two, and Red Bulls at three. So they've won 12, 11, and 10. And then lowest. As far as penalties, you know, awarded, Columbus Crew with 2, RSL with 2, and FC Dallas with 1, which is another one that's kind of odd. They scored a bunch of goals this season.
Fall over.
And, bro, we need to, a couple more dives.
Yo,
bro,
my God. No one's going to blame you. You've only had one penalty all season.
And then here is the penalties. Oh, wait, where's the other one?
Do we have to read all of this?
No. I just... there was another one. Oh yeah, this one. As far as penalties taken against, and NYCFC and Rebels are tied for best with just one. They've only
was it
this
FC
whole
Dallas?
Season only one penalty.
They've only given away one.
Yeah,
penalty.
Which is a pretty remarkable. Especially given how NYCFC had a really poor stretch of games.
Also, for Rebels, a pressing team, you would imagine would make a lot of mistakes.
And, you know, because and then we're literally just like, we can't, nobody can stand Aaron Long, and it's like, yo, bro. But like when you look at the stats.
Pretty stable.
They're a pretty reliable team. We're not gonna, you know, take too many risks defensively and still be you know stable and not give up goals. So okay. So I'm glad wow. I remembered that. All right. So the win for LA Galaxy puts them in playoff position.
By the way, Daniel Raymond said, "Hey, I know you guys are reviewing the U.S. men's national team match, but can I ask a question about Canada? Go for it. You might not answer it, but ask."
Okay, put in super chat
did,
it,
and he did. He or she did. From a Canadian standpoint, it sucks we lost, but I feel like it was a big wake up call for us. We had our first true test, and we struggled, but it helped show our weaknesses and what to improve upon. Yeah, but also you guys played like a really boring, pragmatic version of the game
and
anyway.
It was also against Uruguay.
Yeah.
It's Uruguay. I mean, let's not be crazy.
Yeah, but Araujo is injured. He's out for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, the center back from Barcelona.
Right? So, you know, not the strongest team in the world, but it is Uruguay, one of the favorites.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the CONCACAF teams don't even really get to play against teams in South America and whatever, some of the
also,
other.
Also, 2-0 is not that bad of a loss, but exactly.
Yeah. Right. Nothing, I mean.
You won every game in your
I would say Canada is going into the World Cup a little bit more confident than the U.S., say that. Oof. But even though, but Canada's, they're having their problem with their federation.
Yes.
Because did you see Jonathan David, what he did? Mm-hmm. After they scored, and this has nothing to do with the federation specifically, but with Nike, Canada are the only country in the World Cup that did not receive a new kit for the World Cup. And he scored a goal in the previous match. I forget who they played. But as soon as he scored a goal, he's celebrating, covers up the Nike logo as he's celebrating. Because obviously upset, apparently it wasn't the federation's choice. It was Nike that decided to not make a new kit for Canada.
Wow!
And Canada, this is the first time they've qualified for the World Cup in 30 something years.
30, I think it's 30. Also, can I just say this? Jonathan David born in Brooklyn. You got a new kit with the U.S.
You could have. All right, you wouldn't have liked it, but
it might not have been your favorite. Maybe you cover up your eyes when you score, but you get one,
right? So look, I'm not particularly worried about Canada necessarily. The David Morales said, absolutely disrespectful from Nike. I agree. I don't understand that decision at all.
Is it maybe they're feeling that people won't buy it? Because if it's the first time in the World Cup for a country, you would assume a lot of people will buy it.
I mean, it's the opportunity.
Did Drake have something to do with this, bro?
It's the opportunity to get everyone excited about the World Cup. Why wouldn't you even take that opportunity? If it's not a kit, make like stickers or something. Do something. No. Why are you not getting involved in this?
How about
it's
a
the
new
World
patch?
Cup. Bro, do something. And look, and people do like the Canada kiss. They are very like minimal and plain.
Yeah. They're kind of dope. I also love the badge, the leaf above the soccer ball.
Right. But still, a ridiculous decision from Nike.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
There were a couple friendlies, club friendlies. RSL played Atlas. Nashville played Club America. They won in penalties. Mm-hmm. A fun game. Cincinnati beat Chivas.
I thought that was League's Cup.
This was a League's Cup showcase. So they're not like...
Yeah. Okay, right. I thought maybe this was some type of qualifying or something at first.
No, it's just like, you know, hey, look, League's Cup is going to be here next year. Check this out.
Nestor said it's a weed leaf.
But I don't know if you saw the goal from Aaron Herrera. Did you see the goal against Atlas? He scored from like 70 yards.
Oh, it was incredible.
That was unbelievable. I think Matt Doyle said this. He said that
he thought it was the longest ever goal
that wasn't from a goalkeeper.
Right.
This was unreal. It was on a rope directly in goal.
He had that split second look up and said like, all right, I'm doing it. Speaking of playing instinctually,
bro,
that keeper was also like at the halfway point.
he was like outside of the 18 yard or like right at the 18 yard box.
Bro.
So poor decision on his part, but to get that goal and absolutely crush it and laser it right into the goals. Impressive.
If I do that, it bounces in front of the keeper off the line.
This was a couple, maybe 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago. Remember Aaron Herrera had that shot they were playing the Sounders. RSL were playing the Sounders. The ball went, got cleared out and went over to they were playing the Timbers because it was Steve Clark. Playing the Timbers, the ball, I think Steve Clark came out, hit the ball to kind of the right kind of touchline, and Aaron Herrera got to the ball and got it on the volley and curved it to the goal, and it was going straight in, and Steve Clark just made it in time.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay. So Aaron Herrera got a cannon on him.
Bro, you got to try a couple times, and he got a good one.
So the dude, I don't know if he should be taking free kicks. I don't know if he does or does not, but the dude got a rocket launcher, on him. So I wanted to look at the standings real quick.
P. Morton said it's almost 6 a.m. y'all, time to crash out, stay motivated, have a good
where
morning.
Where are you?
I know.
What country are you what in?
I don't even know. I don't think it's 6 a.m. anywhere.
It's not Europe. It's not Europe. It has to be Asia.
Wait, let me look at world clock. I don't think it's 6 a.m. anywhere.
I've never heard of anybody tuning into our show this early. I'm in Japan.
Oh,
okay.
Damn.
Amazing.
Yo, what Uber Eats snacks you got out there, bro?
Must be fly out there.
Prawn flavored puffs or something.
Okay, so LA Galaxy currently, they were out of the playoff position, and now they are in fifth place.
But this is, we've talked about how one win jumps you up quite a bit.
It is tight. LA Galaxy have an opportunity to host a game, bro. There's two matches left.
And if Nashville even blinks, LA Galaxy is up there.
It's so incredibly close, man. This is
But it looks like it's a wrap for Seattle. I know mathematically they're not out, but it looks like it's a wrap for Seattle.
It feels like it.
CONCACAF Champions League, first team to do it in MLS. Don't make the playoffs.
Right, and this is, I think the streak is like something like 11 or 12 years.
Oof.
The streak will be broken.
They've been in the playoffs since we've started this podcast. This will be the first year that we've done this podcast that they won't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, so disappointing, obviously. But look,
This is what you get for splashing us with water. You feel me?
Okay. SCCL trophy.
Shorty, I don't know your name, but this is what you get. I hope you home bored. And you know what? I hope there's a little bit of a leak above your head and you get splashed with water while you watching other people playing the playoffs.
Okay, look, we got a history with this. All right.
A little bit of a vendetta.
LAFC, Austin, and Dallas have already clinched playoff position. And so two matches remaining. Decision day is going to be pretty wild. So I'm excited and very much looking forward to that. Okay, what else do we have? Sorry, in the Eastern Conference, Philly, Montreal, and New York have all solidified their place in the MLS playoffs.
New York City very close to solidifying their position.
Yeah, I think 1 point. Should do it.
Yeah, 50 points seems like the barrier there.
And I think they haven't secured a home playoff game, but so very
should happen. I can't imagine unless they lose out.
I really so the
Miami making it into the playoffs.
The people on the bubble are Columbus, Atlanta, and Charlotte. New England too, but I don't see
New England's not making it. Neither is Charlotte, to be honest with you. There's too much of a hurdle to climb. It's 4 points. Miami doesn't look like they're going to slow down anytime soon. Columbus looks like they might have a shot. It looks like it's a wrap for Caleb Porter if they don't make it into the playoffs.
You think so?
Dude, there's already people saying Porter out.
Yeah. I could see them kind of getting tired of it. But that
go to Atlanta?
He's in Ohio.
It looks
dude.
Like Atlanta wants to fire everybody.
Atlanta has a lot of problems besides just their coach.
Remember when they were so good in the beginning?
And Ice Cobra said DC got the spoon locked up. Bro.
Is that a wrap?
They are
27 points.
27 points.
What's West?
West is 31, yeah.
San Jose. Damn, y'all on the verge of winning the spoon and San Jose yipping at teams that ain't even playing. That's wild, bro. I got a lot of respect for San Diego, San Jose.
I think as far as the Eastern Conference, I'd be happy with this setup. Right,
the way it is.
Yeah, Miami and Cincinnati never been in the playoffs before. It'd be interesting to see them both there.
Right,
and I think it's a bigger story, especially for Miami. After I've said this before, but after all that they went through with breaking the rules,
Matthew Perez, ATL can't even keep the pollo on the table,
bro. Let's go.
Oh, my God. How do you expect us to get in the playoffs? There's chicken and arroz everywhere.
So, seeing Miami and Cincinnati, and especially for Cincinnati, is just they can begin to heal after those terrible first few MLS seasons. Loss after loss, being in the butt of some jokes. And I think they could surprise somebody, and if it's Red Bull Cincinnati in that first round,
it's not a gimme for Red Bull at all.
Not at all,
especially the way we played the last few weeks.
So, if NYCFC can get above
home games Red Bull, are so important for NYCFC,
right? And so if it's NYCFC against Cincinnati at home, if it was reversed and Cincinnati were at home, I would be a little bit concerned.
Yeah, but you got to come play us in Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium is just I just want to piss off more MLS fans.
Yeah,
bro.
Man. Put as many asterisks as you want.
Okay. All right. If there's anything else, MLS, I know it was an international break, but if there's anything you may want us to cover, please let me know.
They're saying they didn't hear the button. Oh, it's muted.
Whoa, no. There it is. Apologies. How do we know? Oh, when it's green, that means it's not muted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then red muted. Ah, bummer.
Que coño.
Okay, so we probably missed this as well.
It's the Hooligans, buddy.
We didn't hear Poppy before.
Oh, damn. You heard. I think it was on before. I think when we muted everything.
I don't know.
No?
Nah, dude. Shame. Mike Thomas said,
I hear it now.
Mike Thomas said, NYCFC making Roger Maris proud. Let's go. Yeah, Mickey Mantle, all of them. A-Rod.
Wasn't Roger Maris like the most expensive baseball card of all time?
Possibly.
Wasn't that him?
Roger Maris broke the home run record first.
I
remember the Billy Crystal movie, 61?
No.
On HBO? I believe, and he had the asterisk because he got the most home runs in the year that they added like seven MLB games.
Oh, okay.
So they and then eventually they fixed it after he died. So he never got to see that. So
I'm asleep already.
Okay.
I do like this question from Jamal though. I do want to know if we have a little bit of time. Let's do this. Combined 11 USMNT and England.
All right. Yeah, yeah. This is who asked this?
Jamal.
Oh, no,
who do you
don't
think?
Do this because this is.
How about this? Which of the U.S. men's national team starters would you pick over the England starters? I'd pick Zimmerman over Maguire.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
I could say that. Yeah, I would feel more comfortable with
100%.
That. 100%. Anybody else? Maybe.
I'd probably pick Berhalter over Southgate.
This is, I mean,
it's just not, it's all of our guys are so much younger too.
Yunus Musa over who's in the midfield?
I'd pick Brendan Aaronson. I'd pick Brendan Aaronson over.
No, this is, it's tough because who would it be? Like Mason Mount?
Foden?
Foden's on the wing.
Yeah, so is Brendan Aaronson sometimes.
You would pick Foden over Aaronson?
I'd pick Aaronson over Foden.
Oh yeah,
Foden don't look good. He's a system player, baby. That ain't his system.
I would not. Foden is a beast, bro.
I'm not saying he isn't.
Jason X said Billy Crystal, right? Billy Crystal, the actor.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
You know Billy Crystal is the comedic actor. Yeah,
it's a Saturday night. He's performing right now.
Yeah, he directed the movie 61. He's a big Yankee fan. That's his thing. Okay. So yeah, who was in the roster yesterday for England?
You're going based on last roster?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Jude Bellingham, Reece James, they played three at the back.
Jude Bellingham is a beast.
Yeah. Declan Rice I would pick Declan Rice over Tyler Adams. Luke Shaw, I would pick Luke Shaw over Anthony Robinson.
Maguire and Dyer are probably the two that are the weakest.
Yeah.
I'd pick Matt Turner over Pope.
Yeah, but not over Jordan Pickford.
I didn't say that. I said over Pope. If we're going over this after this lineup,
it's
man scored 4.2.
It doesn't matter, bro. Because it's not about the combined.
You know what?
11.
You tell us after the game.
English people don't even like the English national team, bro.
I know, bro. Why are you even worried about this?
They don't even care, bro. All right. Somebody said, I need an NWSL. Jake Underwood said, I need an NWSL team to root for. We have to talk about the past few days in NWSL. There's been obviously big results. A couple birds being flipped. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know why. It's running rampant.
Let's go.
Why?
I want some energy.
A player got a red card for giving double birds after being upset with a call.
Which is stupid.
It is. What?
It's just a finger.
Two of them. Well, I think you can do one, but two?
Two is. I got to draw the line here.
I got to give you two yellows for each finger.
Yeah.
I got to find the pictures of that because it's.
Mike Thomas said, yo, who would you pick? The British Army or the Continental Army?
So there's one match remaining in the NWSL standings. Let me bring this one up so everybody can see it. Thorns are in first, Reign in second, Kansas City Current in third, Wave in fourth. Wave clinched a playoff spot.
Also, their new stadium is packed.
Right. I did see a video of it wasn't for soccer. They hosted a game. This game is obviously it's in San Diego. Snapdragon Stadium. Which I think is a graphics card.
I think it's a processor.
Right. So
how did I know that? Not you.
I mean, I was pretty close.
Next, you're gonna order chocolate.
But in the stadium, somebody they filmed a video because they hosted a American football game. In the afternoon in San Diego in the summer, it was over 100 degrees.
Which is so dumb.
And there's no roof on the stadium.
Cover, which, what is it with hot? Same thing in FC Dallas. Put a cover.
I think the decision was basically
financial.
They said that they ran out of money and they ran out of, like, and they were like, all right, we'll just do it without the roof in the middle of San Diego. a very poor idea. There wasn't enough water. I don't remember who posted this video, but somebody made like a little vlog around it, and little people were scrambling just to get water. It was a really, really bad look. And it was like the first game. It was like the first, I think, event that they did there. All I hope is that San Diego Wave are never playing a game there in the summer during the day.
Snapdragon is a San Diego State University stadium.
Got it. Oh, okay. So, but it is a new stadium. It is a new stadium.
I thought this was San Diego Wave's own private stadium.
No, they're sharing the stadium. Oh. That I know.
Casey Curran have their own stadium now.
They are building it. They're playing it at Children's Mercy Park
right now. Yes, I know that.
But they are getting their own stadium soon. So
you got to have a roof, bro. Not in San Diego.
The game I watched last week was the Angel City FC against Louisville. Angel City lost this game, I believe, 3-1.
Louisville's not having a great season either.
They are not, but you could see there's a little bit of, I think Angel City are getting the little bit of what LAFC got, where you're like, oh, it's a new team. A lot of stars. They're packing out a stadium, an MLS stadium. And so teams go in there and being like, all right, we're going to
settle the score a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Settle the playing field.
We want to make you look bad so that we look good.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like from Louisville, where they went in with like a little bit of chip on the shoulder. Yeah, that season's not going well, but this is a big stage. Anybody who plays Angel City in NWSL is starting to feel a little bit like Madison Square Garden, right? Where we want to go play. The away team is like
big lights, big show. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Bank of California in general seems like there's a lot of eyes on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And all the celebs. There was a great photo of Abby Wambach, who's one of the owners, in the stands, and obviously the camera went to her, and then it said Abby Wambach, World Cup winner, whatever, and sitting next to her was Jodie Foster. Which is just a great, like, they're like, some ladies next to Abby.
Yeah. Yo, get this lady away from our superstar.
All right, Lolita. Nobody cares. All right.
I'll witness Abby Wambach scoring headers.
Okay, you need to say silent like a lamb, bro.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I can't think of any more Jodie Foster movie. So that was funny, man. It's they're definitely Angel Cities. I feel that almost the same way, but like the LA Galaxy. I'm like, because it's such a big stage, you want to see them in the playoffs.
Right.
But once Kristen Press got injured with the ACL, then they were like, all right, we got to bring in replacements. They bring in Sydney LaRue from Orlando. She gets injured. Sarah Gordon tore her ACL early this year or late last year, and she hasn't been able to.
These are all big names.
These are big names. They're just losing the players that they need at the right time. And the players that
Natalie Portman got to get in there, bro.
they can't score.
Yeah.
That's really the big problem. They lost their biggest scoring threats.
But I mean, they're going to be a team to reckon with next season, I think.
I agree.
Same with Gotham.
Yeah. Cena Radcliffe said, San Diego still operates under the delusion that the weather is still as nice as it was 30 years ago.
I thought people were still loving on that the weather there.
But global warming is real, bro.
Mike Thomas said, it's the old Charger Stadium revamped, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Mike Thomas said they're eating too much nightshade. If you got to be a part of the watch along if you want to get these jokes.
Dina Radcliffe said, everything is open air here. High school, shopping malls, stadiums. I enjoy San Diego a lot. You've been to San Diego, right?
Uh-huh.
I performed at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Great club.
Place. I love Pacific Beach, Mission Beach.
PBOB.
I performed.
PB&J.
I did stand up at Lestat. You know Lestat?
I have not.
It's like a rock club, but it's like pretty legendary. And this is what everyone told me when I was there. They're like, hey, you know that Jason Mraz performed here. This is where he came up. I'm like,
is this the comparison that you're set brought up?
I'm like, whoa, la-di-da.
Oh, wow. Is that why there's a fedora hanging from the ceiling?
Okay. Iconic.
I knew I was feeling horny when I walked in.
So these are the matches that are coming up in NWSL. There's I was actually thinking you're going to be away, but I was actually the game There's two games remaining on Twitch, and I was thinking of doing a watch along for one of them.
Maybe go ahead, bro. We got this whole, you know,
asking
for interrogation room
maybe,
here.
Maybe we'll try to do that because NWSL is pretty dope because you can they do co-streams. You're allowed to show the game during the watch along.
Which is I got to do it on Twitch though.
Yeah, we got to do it on Twitch. Okay, so the remaining games, the decision day. In the National Women's Soccer League, San Diego Wave against North Carolina. North Carolina could secure a playoff spot with a win.
Against a really strong San Diego Wave, though.
Gotham against Portland. Gotham.
But I think, what was it? Abby Dahlkemper just got some award from the Wave.
Oh, I don't know.
She hit some mile mark. I think 10,000 minutes or something crazy like that.
I mean, she's a vet. She's been around. Okay.
I'll tell you right now.
Sure.
Nope. No, that's just pictures of her in a bikini. That's not, there it is. 10,000 regular season minutes played.
All right.
Shouts to you. Shouts to Abby Dahlkemper. Check
out, we interviewed Abby Dahlkemper a couple last year or sometime.
Also, you and your man look like superheroes. It's incredible.
Good for you.
Wow.
Gotham is playing Portland. Portland has been incredible this year. And Gotham, it's just it's a disappointing year. I mean, they've lost, I think, 7 or 8 in a row.
They also redid a lot of their roster at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They brought in some big names, but it hasn't worked out.
It hasn't worked
out. Coach has been fired.
Just a bummer. And hopefully, they did bring in a new player, a player on the Brazilian national team. I forgot her name, but I saw that she, I think, maybe got her first minute.
Is it Blamar?
Look, so I'm, you know, always trying to be as optimistic as possible because it's a... we obviously know we're very close with a lot of people that work there, and it's not just obviously you want good results, but they're trying to make Gotham FC be a real part of the community and get the support that like Angel City FC does. I think
shouts to the great job Yael has done there.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible people that are associated with that club. So I think they will turn it around.
All right, the Spirit play against the Houston Dash, and I think the Dash need a result here. The Spirit. Another baffling, you win the NWSL championship to
just loaded with stars too.
Whatever
Ashley Sanchez has been Trinity happening Rodman
this year. It's so strange. I look at the results for Portland after going through the absolute nightmare with their coach and all the other stuff,
the front office
things. And I'm like, bro, how do they put that aside and continue winning and they're still in first place? So
It's possible.
It's possible. So it's confusing, to say the least. The Louisville, Kansas City, and obviously Kansas City have a lot more to play for here. Rain against the Pride, and same situation with the rain.
Yeah.
But this Red Stars Angel City game,
that's going to be a big one.
It's going to be the game that I think that
Red Stars need that bad.
Depending on the results between the Courage game. With the Wave, if Courage lose that game, this Red Stars Angel City game, I think, is going to be the one that I think if either team wins, they go into the playoffs. So it's essentially a playoff game. So that's quite possible.
Tough. Angel City, I believe, are in 8th place. So that's going to be a big jump for them.
It's the top 6 that go in, right?
It's going to be a big jump for them.
So Angel City are in 8th, but 6th place is 31 points. So they could something really, really could happen. So I'm excited. So make sure you tune in to these matches. NWSL this weekend is going to be pretty, pretty intense.
Hey, yo, NWSL championship game,
mm-hmm.
halftime show, Jason Mraz.
There we go.
Can we set this up?
Now you think, you know.
Everybody wears sandals, dude.
Yeah, I wonder where is NWSL final, the location is already set?
I thought it was Bank for some reason.
I
thought it was Bank of California.
Why did I think it was
best team?
Audi Field, or is it no? Because please, someone or have they determined it yet? Do we know where it's going to be?
It says TBD.
Cena Rackle said, going to the Wave game on Friday. I'll let you know if they have water.
Yo, bring your own, dude.
Okay, let us know. Okay. All right. So. Anything else that we may have missed before we wrap up? Let us.
Audi Field.
See,
there we go.
I had a feeling. I remember. I heard that. So that'll I how do you feel about the neutral ground NWSL final? I don't think...
Never been a fan of it. I hate the fact that both teams have to travel. I think it should be... You should have an away section, and I think the home... The better team should have a home field advantage.
And it was interesting. The NWSL championship game that we went to was in Cary, North Carolina, and Courage happened to be in it.
Yeah.
So that was convenient for
but
them.
Chicago Red Stars brought a lot of
support. That was awesome to see. So the
fans showed up. The players didn't for that game. But the fans showed up.
I think we need to do away with this. I don't see the biggest benefit, especially when we went to the final.
I think it also makes it difficult for teams that are sharing stadiums to suddenly schedule another match.
Right.
That's the difficulty.
But still, bro. Nah, man. If it's for a final, move a game. Move the other game. I think it's totally
I'm not
valid.
Opposed to it.
Yeah, because when we... And this is what I hope NWSL does better than the last time we were at a final, there really wasn't much fanfare around the final. Like when we go to MLS Cup, credit to MLS because during MLS All-Star and MLS Cup, even though same thing with MLS Cup final, there's not a lot of time to prepare anything.
Right.
Because they don't know what city it's going to be in. But NWSL, there was like one kind of event.
Hours.
Oh, yeah, where we kind of just told people along with like Meg Linehan.
It wasn't just us, but we started sending some texts being like, can we put something together?
Yeah, because there wasn't no there was no thing that fans could come out to. And
because we were trying to figure out like, when do we show up? And Meg was like, right before the game. And we're like, no, but like we don't want to miss the events the night before. And she was like, what was that? Did you hear about events?
Yeah,
or?
It was us, Meg, and the people from Equalizer Soccer.
I can't remember my guy's name. Jaloof?
Jeff, right?
Jeff Kaloof.
I forgot his last
name. I think it's Kaloof. But shouts to you, Jeff. Equalize Soccer does a good job. Yael helped us out, who at the time wasn't representing Gotham. She was more on the players' side.
Right.
A bunch of really cool people who came together and said, let's find a bar and put some people together. And a bunch of former players came out. Fans from all over the league were out. It was absolutely incredible. It was just a packed house. I made sure to remind everyone our credit card was not out there. You better buy your own beer.
Mike Thomas said MLS got rid of the neutral final for that exact reason. Yeah, I agree.
But you know what? NWSL needs an all-star game so that you do have one event that is planned out ahead of time. The whole of women's soccer and soccer in general can go to that. And then you can have the final wherever it lands.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Shouts to Christian Navarrete, who said, just found you guys about a month ago and haven't missed a show since. It's the best way to listen to soccer.
Look at that. You and Tesho Akindele agree. All right. Brilliant minds. You can spot them in the soccer world. I just literally saw a banana being thrown
at the Brazilian players
at Richarlison
in Tunisia.
Where is this game? I don't know where this game is being held.
It's against Tunisia.
I don't know where it is, but
apparently it's in a racist bay.
Okay. It's in a Racismoville.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. We're still doing this?
The game is being played in 1952.
So not great. Wish I did not see that while I was scrolling. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Jordan Pefok will be joining us in just a moment. If you're listening to this podcast, the video of it, if you're watching right live, I'll make it public right now on YouTube so you can go check it out.
Right. So if you're watching this live, just click over to that link.
Yes.
If you're listening, sit back and relax because.
Yes, we spoke to. So Jordan Pefok does have a translator. Actually, I want to set this up a little bit more because we did post a clip on TikTok. And Jordan Pefok does not speak English very, very well.
Oh, he does. I just don't think he was comfortable with a sort of a freewheeling interview.
Right.
He said he would be more comfortable in French. And we're like, dude, you speak whatever you want, bro.
Exactly. And he had a translator there. Yeah. It's a super nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. And as soon as we explained we're comedians,
Both of them were very excited, including the translator was like, oh, really?
So
I don't think he was expecting that.
And so it was actually a really fun thing because we would make a joke and the translator would tell Jordan.
Laugh first,
tell Jordan. Then Jordan would laugh.
Yeah,
then he would respond with like his kind of retort. And
then
joke.
The translator would laugh and then tell us and then we would laugh as well.
It was a really fun thing. So you'll hear that in the interview. The one thing, I posted this clip on TikTok and people, there were a couple people that were like, bro, he ain't even American. They hit us with the xenophobia.
Wow.
My man was, Jordan Peefock, born in Washington, D.C.
Yo.
Obviously, didn't
grow. By the way, you could stop talking there. American.
That's it. That's all that's required.
The way it works here.
My man, literally born on a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Right?
Bro, you talking to two Latinos. You think we don't stop the conversation as soon as we say born here? If that's what the paperwork says, then that man is Americano. Give him a goddamn cowboy hat.
Right. So
he came out. His first words were ye. You know, second word, ha.
So we got a couple of those. Where people, a lot of people, they've never seen him do an interview. They didn't know that he, you know, English wasn't his first language.
Well, he wasn't raised in Washington, D.C., unfortunately. So sometimes you grow up with the culture you grow up with.
Exactly. But it doesn't make him any less American.
He is eligible to play. And that man is as American as the red, the white, and the blue.
Okay. My man, Jordan Apple Pie Peefock.
Hey, yo. Are you talking about Jordan Thanksgiving Peefock?
Okay.
Yo.
That's the homie. All right.
Yo, I don't care what his birthday is. He was born on 4th of July, dude.
Dude, so we need to stop that immediately, yo. Nah. America isn't necessarily, you know, maybe because there's so many cultures, America's just an idea, bro. You feel American, you're American, all right?
If you got a blue passport,
you're good.
You goody.
Bro.
We gotta stop asking so many questions.
I love Robinson again. Said Racismoville. Is that in Italy?
Probably in the stands.
Oh my goodness!
And by the way, I do also want to mention. This is also important to mention. There is no official language in America.
That's right.
So if you want to speak a little Francais, maybe.
Oh, I embrace it.
A little Francois.
You know, we've been traveling a bunch. Been in England, been in Germany. Everybody in Germany speaks English. They ain't got no problem with it. Nobody's.
And by the way, he speaks English. It's just he was being thrown into an interview with comedians. Yeah.
Cena said, people speak in other languages in America?
No, stop it.
No.
Para eso ahí mismo.
Tranquilo.
Okay, no haga más. Si va a vivir aquí, yo creo que tiene que hablar español o inglés.
Alexis sounds like his Cuban family in Miami, bro.
Okay, no, you gotta speak English.
Fluent like me, okay?
You wanna live here? You gotta speak perfect English.
Oh my goodness. All right.
Hypocrites down
there.
So
now that we've prepared you for the Jordan Peefock interview, everybody tune into that if you're listening. If you're
Cena said, I gotta have to deport my mom. You know?
If you are watching live, thank you so much for joining us on YouTube. And I shout out to all the people who watched the U.S. Saudi Arabia game with us as well. Hopefully, we cheered you up a little bit. It was a little bit of a rough,
a little boring, but we made it through. And okay. It's not a W, but it's also not an L.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, bro. To cheer you up during these difficult soccer times. Mm. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast as well.
Hit that subscription button on YouTube, yo. We definitely want to grow those numbers. It would be absolutely amazing.
We're almost at 5,000 YouTube
means
subscribers.
The world to us. We're on the road to 5K.
Let's go. Help us get there.
We're on the road to 10K. Very slowly, but we trudging along.
And as always, join us on Patreon. Shout out to all the people who joined during the live stream.
Jake Underwood said, it's not a W, it's not an L, it's a big D.
Okay. Dark mode.
A little nightshade for you.
All right. Those are
it's causing some inflammation. Those are,
they're callbacks from the other live
you had
stream.
To be here,
you had
bro.
To be there, bro. It would hit if you did. Join us on Patreon. We have a podcast that we do on there called No Cap Recap that is about soccer a little bit, but sometimes it's about
soccer. It's about everything but soccer.
Right. So we do a bunch of other fun. It's just a nice fun comedy podcast for you.
You know?
So patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join us on there. Anything else? I think we're good.
Ah, Christian does his Jason Mraz impression on there, bro. Okay. You got to check it out.
Bro, I do this with my hat. I just tuck it down.
Bro, serenading me. You got to check it out. Playing hacky sack.
Follow us everywhere.
I don't even know if that's what Jason Mraz does.
Follow us everywhere on social media at Soccer Cooligans. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter is where we're bumping. And we'll be back next week. On Monday, we won't have a live episode, but we will be dropping our interview with Everton midfielder Tom Davies.
Yes, sir.
So check that out. That'll be so again, no live episode, but the podcast will be available. That'll be available Tuesday morning.
So check that out. So unfortunately, no live, but we will have something for you. Enjoy this Jordan Pefock, Deosun Smith, Sebichu interview that we did when we were in Germany. Absolutely incredible. And until then, we'll see you guys next time.
I'm going to answer in French.
That's perfect.
Yeah, you can answer in French. Yeah. But we're comedians. So, it's not serious.
It's not serious.
I hope understands the jokes.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
We'll laugh.
It's rolling.
Yeah, it's rolling already, and that's rolling. Okay. Cool.
3, 2.
Okay. First question. You tweeted that some people call you, your name is Theosin. His name is Theosin, right? Sebichu.
Yes.
Some people call you Jordy. Uh-huh. But you don't mind if it's PFOC, because that's your mom's name. Mm-hmm. So you can call you whatever you want. What should we be calling you? On Twitter it also says it also says Theosin Smith.
Yeah. So what you
voulez-vous qu'on vous appelle, hein? Comme je l'ai dit sur les réseaux sociaux, c'est comme vous le voulez.
You do it like you want to say that already on the social media.
Je pense.
Choose.
So it's our choice.
C'est parfait. Bah, la plupart des gens, même le. Yeah. M'appelle Jordy, donc.
Some people call me Jordy, okay. Things like that.
Okay, but he said Jordy is only for his friends. Can I call him? Does that mean we're friends?
Mais c'est réservé uniquement aux intimes, aux amis. Est-ce que vous monsieur, vous faites partie de vos amis? Vous vous appelez Jordy?
Oui, pas tout ça, on est entre nous, donc on fait ça.
Of course, we are among us each other.
Okay, we are friends.
Okay, you heard it here first, we are best friends.
We are best friends, exactly.
Okay, so next up, obviously, you've been playing with the U.S. men's national team. I heard that there might be rumors that Greg Berhalter might be here. You didn't get a call up to this recent. I'm sure a lot of people have been asking you the same question, but what is your feeling about not getting this call up before the World Cup?
Je crois vous a déjà posé la question, mais comment vous sentez de ne pas avoir été appelé par le coach de l'équipe américaine?
Franchement, j'essaye de.
Honestly.
De pas trop y penser parce que je pense que ce sont des choses qui brouillent un peu, qui brouillent un peu la tête.
Maybe it can hit to
donc,
my head.
Donc, on va dire le premier jour, bon, j'étais un peu déçu, mais après, voilà, je suis tout de suite reparti au travail. Parce que c'est. Ce n'est pas terminé.
With a cool head, as we say in French.
Okay. Okay, and you had a cool head today. You got a beautiful goal.
On a vu, vous regardez la tête des épaules. Boom, hein?
At top of the league, new club. What's the feeling around this club?
Vous êtes premier au classement, un nouveau club, un commun. Qu'on peut entendre de plus?
De toute façon, on ne peut pas être plus que premier, donc on va rester...
It can be better more than the first.
Donc on va rester focus sur ce qu'on fait. On va continuer à travailler, continuer à prendre du plaisir.
Have fun.
Que du plus pour nous, quoi.
Well, hope to get us on the side.
Very nice. Okay. Well, best of luck for the rest of the season, and hopefully, I think as Americans, we hope to see you at the World Cup.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be screaming, yay, Theosin Smith, Jordan, Sebichu, FIFA.
Oh, wow. Still long.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Merci.
Mon ami, right?